minute of your day can change lives. Joan Watson is the director of adult formation for the Diocese of Nashville. She's a popular speaker who has addressed a wide variety of audiences, from local parishioners to members of the Roman Curia. Prior to her work in the diocese, she was the assistant director of catechetics at Aquinas College, where she taught over 1,000 adults in the Diocese of Nashville, Knoxville, and Lexington. She received her bachelor's degree in history from Christendom College and her master's degree in theology from Franciscan University. During her time at Franciscan, she worked for Dr. Scott Hahn and the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. She's currently a member of the National Advisory Council for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. And Joni can be found at joanmwatson.com, which we put on our website. So with further ado, I welcome Joni Watson. Thank you, Joni.
That's Joan M. Watson, because if you just do Joan Watson, you get a Canadian horn soloist, and I don't play the horn. So, common mistake there. Can everyone hear me? Is this volume? Okay. So Marilyn asked me several months ago to speak about the rosary, and I thought, well, I love the rosary, but you all probably say the rosary more than I do. And that was several months ago, and a lot has happened in since she first asked me. So it's a pleasure. Many of you probably do say the rosary more than I do, even now. But I want to share kind of even my journey with the rosary, especially over the last year. We live in a world that has confused notions about God. I think if you ask the average person, especially in Nashville, Tennessee, if you walk down the street and you ask the average person if they believe in God, you would probably get an affirmative answer. Probably. They'd probably say yes. But if you continued to ask them, what's that God like, you may be surprised what they respond with. Increasingly, they found, in America especially, that the God of our neighbors, and even the God of our fellow Catholics, is kind of a fluffy God. He's a God who's kind of out there. He's sort of this power, or he's a force. Star Wars, for all its greatness, did very little for our theology. And the idea that God is some sort of good force is actually pretty prevalent today in people's understanding of just who God is. A kind of impersonal power that set up this universe, maybe watches over the universe a little bit, maybe gives us some rules so that we don't act like animals, but then remains out there. Recent studies have shown that those who say they believe in God, of those people who say they believe in God, only 60% actually believe in a personal God with whom they can have a relationship. 60%. Even more shocking, 29% of Catholics say that the God they believe in is an impersonal force. 29% of Catholics believe that God is some sort of force that they can't have a relationship with. Now, that's not the God of Christianity. No matter how many Christians say they believe in that, that's not our God. Our God is a personal God. Our God is a God who loves you so much that he not only created you, he became flesh to redeem you. Our God is a God who entered time and space to walk among us as a man, to die for our sins. And he redeemed us because he doesn't want to remain out there. He wants to come in here. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to woo you. And he wants to commune with you. Yes, he wants you to believe that he exists, but he wants that belief to go one step further. He wants it to affect your life. He wants you to live differently because he exists. So he wants us to live like he exists, but he wants us to live like he loves us, which is very different. Now, being lay Dominicans, I hope most of you have heard of the Albigensian heresy, right? That belief, that dualistic belief, right? That there was a God of matter and a God of spirit. And that the spiritual world and the physical world were absolutely opposed, right? And perfection was found in releasing ourselves from this material world. Well, we actually live in a world of a lot of Albigensians. Now, they wouldn't call themselves that today, right? And there are some differences. But from the idea that the spiritual and the material world are completely distinct spheres, from that idea, it's not a far leap to that common mantra, I'm spiritual but not religious. I'm sure none of you have heard anyone say that before, right? My belief in God doesn't actually translate into something material, like going to church, like receiving the sacraments. That's really what they're saying when they say that, right? We also see Albigensian practices like contraception and assisted suicide coming from that same skewed understanding of what the material world is. Now, it may seem like that skewed understanding of what the material world is doesn't really have real life consequences. Okay, you can believe that, but how does that really impact us? But it does, actually. If we don't understand the relationship between the material and the spiritual, it shakes our lives at their very purpose. Because if matter is evil, the Son of God couldn't become flesh. And if he didn't become flesh, I'm not saved. So it has real consequences. Now, you're sitting here thinking, I thought she was going to talk about the rosary, right? What's she talking about? This is why Dominic preached the rosary. The Blessed Mother knew that meditation on the mysteries of the rosary, mysteries on her life, would bring us face to face with a real, personal, fleshy God. In a published interview prior to his election as Pope, Joseph Ratzinger said that devotion to Mary was crucial for us today, and he gave six reasons why today we need to have devotion to the Blessed Mother. One of those six, he said, was the fact that Mary can't be the mother of an abstraction. That the world sees Jesus Christ and the world sees truth as something abstract, right? As something out there, as something less than real. But once we draw close to the Blessed Mother, we draw close to the reality of the Incarnation. We live in a world that would prefer Jesus be an abstraction, that would prefer God to be an impersonal force. Why? Because impersonal forces can't demand anything of me. I can be spiritual, but I don't have to be religious. Except that God became flesh. Our God entered time and space, and our God sanctified this material world and showed us that matter isn't evil, that every created thing can be used for good. That's what Catholicism is all about, right? That's why we have the sacraments and sacramentals. That's why we celebrate feasts and dedications of churches, right? Because God's real, and he could be touched. So Dominic goes out. Dominic goes out preaching the Incarnation, preaching the mysteries of the Word made flesh, preaching the Rosary. Because you can't meditate on the mysteries of the Rosary without coming face to face with a God who loves you. Now, I want to tell you a few stories, but I have to first make a little confession. I don't find the Rosary always easy to say. For many years, I knew I should be saying it daily. But I thought, if I start the creed before my head hits the pillow at night, it counts, right? I started it, and I barely made it to the first mystery. But I said the rosary every day, right? Because I started the creed as I went to bed. Now, there's nothing wrong with saying the rosary as you fall asleep. In fact, in another interview, Cardinal Ratzinger was asked, what do you do at night if you can't settle down? And he said, I would recommend the rosary. That's a form of prayer that, besides its spiritual meaning, has the power to calm the inner self. If we hold fast here to actual words, then we're gradually freed from the thoughts that torment us. It's a really beautiful thought. But maybe if I was only saying the rosary then, I was missing out on some of its fruits. Now, the rosary generally takes about 15 minutes. Depending on what God wants to do with your meditation and contemplation at that time. Okay? Sometimes the rosary may take a lot more than 15 minutes, and that's okay. Unless you're thinking about grocery shopping, and that's not okay. But 15 minutes, average, about. 15 minutes is 1% of your day. 1%. That's nothing. Americans, I found out this week, Americans spend an average of 162 minutes a day on their mobile devices. 162 minutes, and that doesn't even include actually talking on the mobile device. Right? 162 minutes on apps and Facebook and Instagram and the internet. The rosary takes 15 minutes. So why is it so much easier to spend 162 minutes on my phone than it is 15 minutes with my rosary? I couldn't take 15 minutes out of my day. No, I couldn't. I was too lazy, I was too undisciplined, and I wasn't in the habit. So I didn't take 15 minutes a day to say the rosary. Now, here's some advice to make those 15 minutes easier. So four things I'd advise just to make the rosary, those 15 minutes easier. The first is using scripture. There's a lot of great scriptural meditations out there. Some booklets accompany each Hail Mary with a verse from scripture. But you don't even have to get one of those books. You can crack open the gospel, find the mystery in the gospel, usually around Luke or Matthew, and read that passage before you start the decade. Center yourself on that mystery of the rosary. Put yourself in the scene. So read the account of the Nativity, and then as you're praying those Hail Marys, it's repetitious so that you can begin to enter into meditation. So close your eyes, put yourself at the Nativity. Maybe you're a shepherd at the Nativity. What does that night feel like? What's St. Joseph doing? Is baby Jesus sleeping? Pick baby Jesus up. Pick him up and worship him. Another great aid to praying the rosary is art. I have a great book that I actually brought with me. And you can buy it online at the National Shrine of D.C., the National Shrine Bookstore online. But it's called The Rosary Album. And it doesn't have the luminous mysteries, which is kind of sad. But for every single Hail Mary, it has a pen and ink drawing for the mystery. So every single Hail Mary, you have a little drawing of something that's happening during that mystery. And I found this extremely helpful because I get distracted easily. So this is great in grounding me in the mystery. But you don't have to have this. You can pick, there's beautiful art out there of the Visitation. Have that picture in front of you as you're praying the mystery of the Visitation. The third way that I found helps me say the rosary is intercession. Choosing someone or something for each mystery. And so as I'm praying that mystery, I'm intentionally praying for someone, for an intention, for something during those 10 Hail Marys. And lastly, if 15 minutes is hard, and I'm telling you it's hard for me so you don't feel embarrassed if it's hard for you. Maybe it's not hard for you. But if 15 minutes is hard for you, break it up. Don't say the whole rosary at once. I found great consolation in this quote from Cardinal Ratzinger, and I'd like to share it with you. He did a series of interviews, and this is from his interview. It's a big book called God and the World, and it's beautiful. It's a great insight into him as a person and into the church. But the interviewer asked him, "Do you have a particular way of praying the rosary?" And Cardinal Ratzinger says, "I do it quite simply, just as my parents used to pray. Both of them loved the rosary. And the older they got, the more they loved it. The older you get, the less you are able to make great spiritual efforts. And the more you need, rather, an inner refuge to be enfolded in the rhythm of prayer of the whole church. And so I pray in the way I always have." Just a little halftime. That's a beautiful insight. That you don't need to have great spiritual insights. But you need to pray with the church. And so sometimes we just need that comfort of what's familiar, the rosary. But this is the money quote, I think. The interviewer says, "But how? How do you pray the rosary? Do you pray one rosary, one set of mysteries, or all three?" Now we would say all four, right? This was published before the Luminous. He says, "No, three are too much for me. I'm too much of a restless spirit." So this is talking about praying all the whole rosary, right? All 20 decades. He said, "I'm too much of a restless spirit. I would wander too much. I thought, oh, good, okay. He says, I take just one, and then often only two or three mysteries out of the five. Because I can fit in a certain interval when I want to get away from work and free myself up a bit, when I want to be quiet and clear my head. A whole one would be too much for me then. Oh, thank you, right? The Holy Father just said that five mysteries might be too much for him. Talk about consolation for me, right? And I think in doing this, in breaking it up sometimes, it keeps it from being that moment on my checklist. What I found was the rosary was something I needed to mark off my list. And I would get through it 10, if you say the Dominican rosary, you can get it in like 12 minutes, right? Because you skip the Apostles' Creed. That's a problem. That's not how we should be saying the rosary. Oh, I got it done today. Okay, moving on, right? But I found when if I broke it up, it was no longer, okay, I have 12 minutes. Can I get the rosary done before I have to do such or such? But it was, let's do two mysteries right now and really pray them. And I'll conquer the next three later. And so that began to change the way I approached it. So don't say it just to check it off a list. That's my second confession to you. That's how I used to pray it. Ask Mary to help you pray it. Be honest with her. It's 15 difficult moments, 15 difficult minutes for me. And so I need your help to help me concentrate. I want to pray the prayer that you deserve. I want to pray it the way God deserves. Now, I can point to a few things that changed my feeling about the rosary. And one of those things was the 54-day rosary novena. Has anybody ever heard of the 54-day rosary novena? Okay. I have a friend who loved it, right? So it's basically 54 days. It's praying the rosary every day for 54 days for an intention. And it's basically six novenas. A novena is 9 days, right? So three novenas praying in petition, and then immediately three novenas praying in thanksgiving for that petition. Okay? So, six novenas, 54 days. So 27 days in petition, and then regardless of whether it's answered or if it's answered the way you want, 27 days of thanksgiving. Now, one of my friends was a big promoter of the 54-day rosary novena, and I was like, oh, that sounds nice. There's no way I can pray the rosary 54 days in a row. Are you kidding me? I'll say it 10 days, and then I'll forget, and I'll be a loser, right? So I never did it, because it'd be too hard. That's real great. Like, that's a good life lesson, right? It's going to be too hard, so I just never tried. A year later, two other friends went to hear a Catholic speaker give a talk about something completely different, and the Catholic speaker just mentioned the 54-day rosary novena as something that really changed their life. And so my two friends were like, we need to try this. You know, they were both kind of struggling with some things, and so they said, we're going to do it. Now, I don't know all the intentions they were praying for, but at the end of the petition period, one of the two girls received answers loud and clear. Now, these weren't earth-shattering, huge miracles, but they were clear indications, and actually pretty small instances, but they were small reminders to her that God was listening. They were incidences that happened that couldn't be dismissed as coincidences, because they were answers to things that were in her heart, and that only she knew were in her heart. So, were her troubles gone? No. Was her life suddenly carefree? No. But did she suddenly have a very clear and beautiful sign that God was listening to her and that he cared? Yes. And I distinctly remember her words when we met for drinks, because she had to tell me the story. And so we met for drinks and she said, Joni, he's really real. He's really real. And she was on fire. She was giddy with excitement. And we were sitting there, and I realized why everyone thought the apostles were drunk at Pentecost. She was crazy. She was laughing. She was beside herself. She actually pulled the waitress over and told the waitress that Jesus was real, right? The waitress was like, okay, like, what is happening? And she hadn't had a cocktail yet, right? She was on fire. Here was a good girl, a cradle Catholic, gone to Sunday Mass every week, obeyed the Ten Commandments. She was a good girl. But here, God was personal. and she has never been the same. Now, the other friend that started it that same day was kind of sad, because here my friend is having this amazing experience of a God who's real. She still every once in a while reminds us of that. He's really real. And that my other friend wasn't having that experience. So we kind of talked about it, and I said, don't worry, Sarah, you know, it'll be okay. So the next day she got an email from her sister. So when she started the Rosary Novena, she actually went home to visit her parents, and her parents decided they were going to do it too, right? It was a challenge. And her parents began doing it for their grandson, who when his eyes, I think he was about a year or two, and his eyes were not developing properly, and so he only had peripheral vision. He didn't have vision out of the front of his eyes. So they decided they were going to pray the Rosary Novena for Sam. So Sarah gets an email from her sister, and then emails us, and I want to read you Sarah's email. She says, girls, as you know, my parents have been doing the Novena, and one of the things they included was Sam and his development. The day after we switched to Thanksgiving, so we had petition and Thanksgiving, the day after we switched to Thanksgiving, I got this email from my sister, Sam's mom. Just a quick note as we drive back to South Bend after what might be our last ophthalmologist visit here. Dr. Neely said that if he had been seeing Sam for the first time today, he would have diagnosed him as having completely normal vision. Sarah writes in all caps, the kid was blind and now he sees. How much more obvious can you get? I want to do this again. My parents said they're going to say the rosary every day, even after the 54 days are up. Thought you'd appreciate even more evidence that this is something real. Now, if you ask me what one of the best effects of that is, that second to last line. My parents said they're now going to say the rosary every day, even after the 54 days are up. So while my friends are experiencing all this, I had some questions of my own that could be solved. So I began the novena. As they're beginning Thanksgiving, I began petition. Now, the answer to one of my petitions came as I was finishing the 54 days. And the problem was, the answer was no. I was like, wait a minute, they had these amazing experiences and you're telling me no? But you know what? Peace came not long after that answer no. The answer wasn't what I wanted, but it was an answer. And now, months later, I realize it was the best answer. The rosary is a powerful, powerful prayer that changes lives. And I could tell you countless other stories, and I'm sure you all have stories of your own. There are Jesuit priests who were less than a mile away from the bombing of Hiroshima and who walked away. And they attribute it to their daily rosary. There are fascinating and outrageous miracles. But the stories I wanted to share because they may not be as big as surviving nuclear explosions. But in the grand scheme of things, those stories are just as important. Because those are stories about people drawn closer to Christ. The power of the rosary is not just in its intercessory power. As powerful as that is, to pray the rosary for an intention, to pray the rosary in intercession, and to get that intention answered. As you can see from my first friend, though, the power of her rosary novena was actually in that it transformed her. It transformed her relationship with God. I think because the rosary is a prayer that unites your intellect and your will, that it uses your imagination, I think it has the power to change your intellect and will, to change your imagination. It has the power to transform. I have a friend who's really struggled with the church's teaching on homosexuality. He struggled with it as he came into the church, and while he might deny it, I think it was one of the reasons he soon left the church after coming. When he left, I prayed for him. I told him I was open to answering questions. I told him I was open to listening to him, and I made it clear that I wasn't happy with him leaving. But that was it. I didn't present him with any watertight arguments. I didn't give him fantastic treaties on why he was doing, why it was wrong. I just let him know I was praying for him. And he put that little yellow equal sign on the back bumper of his car and on his laptop. And I just prayed that something would change. One day, months and months and months and months later, when I was least expecting it, he pulled me aside and he said, I've changed my mind on homosexual marriage. I've changed my mind. And I said, That's great. What was it? He said, I've been praying the rosary. Those were his words, not mine. He attributed his change of heart His transformation of his intellect and will to the rosary. And a year later, he came back to the Catholic Church. It's a powerful prayer, not just intercessory, but a prayer with a power to change those who pray it. And so here's my challenge. I know many of you probably say the Daily Rosary. If you find the rosary difficult to say, if you aren't in the habit of saying it, begin the 54-day rosary novena today. That's my challenge. If you begin it today, you end it on New Year's Day, on the Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. And what better way to begin the new year? I could stand up here and challenge you that if you're not in the habit of saying the rosary, try to say it with good intentions one day a week. You know, set your goal to something you can reach. But I'm not saying that, because that's too slow, right? That's too easy. 15 minutes a week, you can do better than that. If you're not in the habit of the Daily Rosary, or if you say the Daily Rosary to mark it off your list, like I used to, and like I still do, let's be honest, is it easy to say it 54 days in a row? No. Is it possible? Yes. And you know what? At the end of those 54 days, you will find it's hard to skip. It's hard to skip a day. And so that's my challenge. Even if you already say it with purpose and say it with intention. And think of the power we would have if we were all saying the 54-day Rosary Novena together. So, thank you. That's all I have. Is there time for questions? You two questions? It's called the Rosary Album.
Album,
like a picture album. It says it's by Michael Buccino, B-U-C-C-I-N-O. And the reason I say to look at it from the shrine, the National Shrine Bookstore online, and maybe Julie could order it at St. Mary's too, is most of the places that sell it online are not in union with the church. So I urge you to get it from the Shrine Bookstore in D.C. Because that's probably the best way to get it. But Julie might be able to order it as well. But Buccino, B-U-C-C-I-N-O. And sadly, the Luminists aren't in there. But maybe we could find a pen and ink artist that could do the Luminists for us. That would be great. Commission it. Any questions or comments?
What's the difference when a group of people pray the rosary together? Is there more power in that or?
I believe it was Louis de Montfort said that it was actually multiplied by how many. So, and this gets, I hate to put like quantified things on grace, but like if there are three of us, it's like we're all saying like 15 mysteries instead of five because it's all multiplied. Like I said, you can't really quantify grace like that, but I do think there's power in that group, in the unified effort to say the rosary. But some people find it difficult to pray in a group, and there's nothing wrong with that either. Some people find it easier because your mind doesn't wander as much. At Barnes & Noble a few years ago, I got on disc like $5 clearance, John Paul II praying the rosary. And it's a CD, and it's John Paul II praying the rosary in Latin. And it's great to listen to first of all, it's great to pray it with John Paul II. But also to keep my mind on the mysteries. I went through a phase where I did pray the rosary in Latin because I noticed that my mind didn't wander as much in Latin as it did in English. I don't know why. Now it probably would just wander the same. But do whatever you do, pray it the way you need to pray it to keep your mind on the mysteries, I would say. But yes. Scientific explanation for it. That's beautiful. Yes.
Our Lady of Fatima, we always have heard, said, pray the rosary if you want world peace. Mm-hmm. Some people say she meant all sets of districts. Do you have any information on that?
I don't know. I don't have an affirmative or answer. I think she would be happy if we all said at least a decade sometimes. You know, I mean, I think starting it, you know, if we all said something, it would be great if we all said, you know, all 20. I'm lucky if I get one rosary. My mom, actually, when my mom did the 54-day rosary novena during all this, she started doing one. My mom is horrible at novenas. She would be the first one to tell you. She stinks at novenas. She did the 54-day rosary novena, and she did the whole rosary for 54 days every day. It's like, good thing you don't have a job, Mom. Like, you just sit and say your rosary. I love my mother. And that's heroism right there, to do the whole rosary, right? For 54 days, that was heroism on her part.
So when you say whole rosary, you mean all mysteries?
She was doing all 20 mysteries. When I do the 54-day rosary novena, I do five. I do five mysteries. My mom was doing all 20, and I don't think that's required in the 54-day rosary novena. If you'd like to bite that off, you go right ahead. But like I said, I think if we could get everyone saying five mysteries, if we could ever get everyone saying 15 minutes of the rosary a day, I think we'd see huge changes.
My other question is, when John Paul II came out, Voluminous Mysteries, mm-hmm. I've always wanted to research that and see exactly how that came about, whether he had, is it ever said that he had visions or how he came to create Voluminous Mysteries? Do you know anything?
I don't know anything for sure. I like to think that he had visions. I mean, I'd like to think that he was so close to the Blessed Mother that that was really an inspired act on his part. I don't know whether that's ever been documented for sure. I know in Lourdes is one of the places that he supposedly had kind of this movement of his soul that he needed to do this. And so now, if you've ever been to Lourdes, in the basement of the Basilica, the lower Basilica, has mosaics of all the mysteries of the Rosary, but because there weren't the luminous, now if you go to Lourdes, the front of the lower Basilica has the mosaics of the luminous mysteries, and they're gorgeous. They're really beautiful. But it's because at Lourdes, John Paul II really felt called to have the luminous mysteries. But, yeah. Did you have a question?
When you say with kids, do you require them to start out with the Apostles' Creed?
For a long time, I prayed the Dominican Rosary because I found that the Apostles' Creed was actually a stumbling block for me to get into the Rosary. And that's, again, I think you should say the Rosary the way that it's most fruitful for you. So I would pray it the Dominican way, and I would pretty much go right into the Rosary, and I found that I was a lot more successful in actually getting into a meditative state that way. For kids, it's good for them to pray the Apostles' Creed because it's something that, you know, it's a prayer they need to pray, they need to know. But if that's a stumbling block for them to get into the Rosary, I would say teach them the Dominican way of saying the Rosary. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So I think we should pray the Rosary the way it's going to be more fruitful for us, you know? Yes. Especially with kids, artwork, having them look at an image so that they can actually focus is really, really important. But even just saying a mystery with them would be huge. So yes.
This is a book that you can get on the Dominican website. It's got a picture of St. Dominic giving the rosary to the Blessed Mother. And it has all four of the luminous mysteries included, but it gives a beautiful picture. And then a scriptural little saying before each Hail Mary.
Nice.
It's lovely.
One thing that it can be, it's, I don't know, some people think there's one way to say the rosary. And I took a class in Rome, actually at the Angelicum, on the development of the Hail Mary and the development of the rosary. And the rosary's developed over hundreds of years, right? There's been lots of different ways of saying the rosary. And so, like, some people got really nervous when John Paul II added the luminous mysteries. The rosary yes, the Blessed Mother, I believe the Blessed Mother gave the rosary to Dominic to preach against the Albigensians. But she probably didn't say, this is exactly how you say it. You have to say it. You have to do this and this and that, right? She didn't give him a booklet, right? And so I think because people, I know people are like, you don't say the Oh My Jesus prayer that's given at Fatima. That's okay, right? That's okay. We get really like, there's one way to say the rosary, and there's not, and it's okay. So that's beautiful. I'm glad they include the luminous too. So here was another question. Yeah, Cynthia.
Something I think is that's helpful to me is that when praying the rosary and you're trying to meditate on the mystery, and sometimes it fades away, you know, but just meditating on the words that are there can be a profound thing too. And I remember some hearing, I don't know if it was one of Scott Hunt's cronies or something when he first came in to the church and all, and they were Presbyterian minister that wrote it out for us. But anyway, just saying, you know, if it's not what it, we're saying it totally is with this, with all the benefit and all the praise to God, remarry and all the rest. You know, what son would not be happy with giving honor to his mom, you know, with the Hail Marys? Mm-hmm. You know, it's, if that were the least that it is. So sometimes I take comfort in that.
Even just you're reciting scripture over and over and over again, you know, why wouldn't Jesus enjoy that? Right. Yes, Marilyn.
Just to piggyback on what Cynthia just said, Father Baker had told us during one of the daily homilies that he just prays, like when he's in the grocery store, he's in the car, or he's walking down the street to get somewhere. He was praying. He said, I just keep praying the Hail Mary over and over again. He said, you can do that all the time, all day long. You can pray all day long. And he said, yeah, you don't have, he says, I don't have these glorious, you know, intentions or anything. But yeah, you can pray all day long and put it in her heart and she'll just take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, Mary.
I find it's easier to pray with someone than myself to eliminate distractions. I found this Come Pray the Rosary on the internet. It's a website. So, and the images is they show the Holy Land. Because there, and that's a distraction. So I just turn off the pictures, but I pray with them, and that keeps me. And I actually complete the rosary. That's something to pray with.
Yeah, no, that's great. There's lots of resources out there which are really helpful. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Joan. And I don't think we have any other announcements, but I would like to say, feel free to come back anytime and join us.
And stay with us for the rosary. Yes.
Join us to take your back for the rosary. You can still check off with us.
Yeah.
One thing I wanted to tell you is that when you speak to children, and they talk about the rosary. I have a very easy way to tell children